Claudio's series examining education among high-achieving immigrant families here in California made us wonder about the importance of education to earlier immigrants. Diane Ravitch is an historian of education at New York University and was an assistant secretary of education under the first President Bush. She says that the American educational system was one of the main things that newcomers wanted in the last big wave of immigration 100 years ago.
The opportunity to have a free public education was one of the magnets that drew many, many Europeans to this country. The Jewish immigration, and that was largely from Russia and Poland and Hungary and Eastern Europe, was attracted by education because they were denied education in the countries that they were coming from. So the opportunity to have a free public education was part of the lure of America.
What have been traditionally or historically the major obstacles for most immigrant families sending their kids to public schools? Have they traditionally, and especially 100 years ago, were they terribly discriminated against?
For those who are accustomed to either anti-Semitic feelings or some sort of persecution in another country, what they encountered in American schools was very mild compared to what they had seen in the societies they had fled from.
Were there tensions between immigrants and non-immigrants in the sense that the American-born families would see the immigrants as not having aspirations? Were the kids tracked as low achievers?
In most of the city school systems where there was huge numbers of immigrant children, particularly in the early part of the 20th century, it wasn't the native-born families that said, please track those kids. It was the administrators. And the administrators realized that they had problems because so many of these new children didn't speak English. They didn't have bilingual education. And the administrators created tracking programs saying very often in their official documents, well, these children just don't have the aspirations of our native-born children. And so in many cities, there were tracking programs created, and it became a national phenomenon. And there was tremendous discrimination, and people made a distinction between what they called the old immigration, which was English and Scandinavian and Irish and people of Nordic background, and the new immigration, which was from Southern and Eastern Europe.
So then is this group of well-off, high-achieving immigrant parents who really, you know what they want and have the wherewithal to get it, so to speak, is this a big new element in the question of immigrant children being in school?
The only thing that's new about it is the fact that these are immigrant parents making these demands. In a way, this is not different from what happened with Jewish families, because when the administrators in the early part of the 20th century began creating these tracking programs and said, we want your child to prepare for factory work, or we want your child to be an auto worker, it was usually the urban Jewish parents who said, no way. I mean, we want our kids to be prepared the same way everyone else's kids are, and we're not going to allow you to do this. So you might say it's unusual that the Asian American families are this aware and know exactly what they want for their kids. But the immigrant families in New York City in 1917, in some kind of inchoate way, they understood that they didn't want their children tracked for low-wage vocational jobs.
Diane Ravitch's latest book is Left Back, A Century of Battles Over School Reform.